have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Father, that's my only option. After you ripped the veil and gave me the gospel, so I could see the truth, so I could walk with you. And that's the greatest thing that anyone can ever do. You really saved my life when I was worse at it. An addict on any level for pleasure, pain, and passion. I could never grasp it, cause it's never lasting. But Lord, you everlasting. I burn my flesh to ashes so I can walk with you. Your love is unconditional. So even though I struggle with my past, you still see me through. Sometimes I get it wrong. I fail plenty times. But I get back up and I ride your son if he died for my eternal life. So now I'm still tight. God inside, you give me light. Now I'm saying I will fight all my pain, hurt, and my struggles in my past life. Lord, you wipe away my tears every night.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. You're altogether lovely, God. And altogether worthy, God. And altogether wonderful, so wonderful to me.
Good evening, good evening. How is everybody? Welcome back to Relation Radio. It's Minister Cedric on Relentless Pursuit. Hope everybody had a beautiful week. I've had a wonderful week. God has been blessing me, has been blessing. My throat is getting better every single day, and I thank God for the struggle. I thank God for the hardships in my life, because it is because of these hardships I believe that I can further hold on to his word. You know how there are those who say, I just want to touch the hem of his garment. I feel like I have to reach for it every day. I don't know if I touch it or not, but his healing powers go out because my faith has made me whole. Y'all don't get that. But I'm healed by my faith. Even if it doesn't manifest itself every single moment of every day, I know that I am healed. And so I'm just saying thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for choosing me. I may not like the circumstances. I may not like the struggle that I'm going through, but thank you for choosing me, because that means that he has faith in me. So that's the way I'm looking at it, and God is so good. I was reading a passage out of Psalms 130, and it touched my heart. It touched me a little bit, and well, I'm going to share it with you real quick before I bring on Jason here. Before I bring, actually, let me go ahead and bring him on, and then we'll. Hey, J-Dub, you on with me, brother?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. You got a little bit of feedback in the background, but it sounds better now. So, yeah, everything's going good. How's your day? How was your week?
So far, so good. Good week. You know, weather's getting nice here in Texas, so no complaints.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, it's nice up here in Kentucky as well. I'm glad, because temps are falling. We ain't got to worry about it. I don't even think we've hit 80 degrees this week. Thank you, Lord. But I was talking about, you know how the young kids say the struggle is real. I was kind of talking about suffering. I read a psalm earlier today. It was Psalm 130. And, you know, I'm going to read it real quick. It's a short one. And it basically goes like this here. And it goes a little something like this. But anyway, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is a steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Man, I was reading that a little bit today, and it just made me think, you know, it just made me think, when I'm going through, when I'm suffering through, you know, when we all suffering through, and we're all going through, you know, we cry out for his mercy, you know, just a little relief in his, from this pain. I talk about it, and I actually find healing in speaking about experience with my cancer treatments. I find healing in it. In the sense that I feel like when I educate people on it, or when I share my experience with people, it takes a little more of the shame and the pain away, you know. And some people might say, "Well, why would you feel shame?" man, it's a matter of suffering that I can't really describe and give it justice. It's a manner of suffering where your physical body is suffering so much that your mental state of mind is diminished. Your thinking is not the same. I'm telling you, it takes you to a place and it tries you, like trying, like on trial, like it puts you to a test every day, every minute of every day. I remember as I was going through, I remember there was a time when my cancer was in my throat. I remember there was a time that my throat, my neck, my chin area was swollen, and I couldn't even swallow water. I couldn't even gulp, like take a, like gulp on just air. I could not swallow at all. And there was a night, I remember there was a night, Jason, where I was afraid to go to sleep because I couldn't breathe. I would wake up in the mornings with this mucus in my throat, and I had to keep a bucket next to my bed because all through the night I would have to, release that mucus from my throat. I just didn't want to say the word. It sounded vulgar. But I would always ask God, when is it going to stop, Lord? You know, I went through the stages of grief, and I think I went through them in a different kind of way. I went from saying, Lord, why am I the one that's got to get sick? I ain't never smoked. I don't even allow myself to be around people who smoke. Why I got to get throat cancer? Why me? And it turns out I got the cancer from, the cancer is caused by the HPV virus. It had nothing to do with smoking. It had nothing to do with tobacco or nicotine. It was caused by the HPV virus. Had I gotten the vaccine when I was a kid, which they didn't have, but had I done that, this type of cancer would have never developed. But it's God's plan, right? So as I was suffering, I started to ask myself a question. Why? What good is this type of suffering? What am I going to do? What am I going to learn from this? And I found myself just asking God that, just asking God that type of suffering. So with that introduction, Jason, I'm sorry if I went on too long. Have you ever been in a situation, or have you ever known anyone in a situation like that? They're going through something. Have you had a chance to experience this?
Well, you know, I like what you said about your experience, and, you know, kind of walking in that with you, you know, and I think a lot of people don't understand that physical suffering can easily lead to some mental suffering, the anguish, the constantly like, man, what's going on with me? You know, why me? You know, and that mental anguish on top of the physical anguish, you know. So I think that's something that's real. You know, personally myself, you know, I've gone through some suffering. Nothing as traumatic as a cancer or a bad health experience, but those overwhelming situations where you just get up and you just start questioning, it's like, why me? Like, why am I going through this? And you know, you start rethinking your life, and you know, your mind goes to bad places. Like, did I deserve this? Is this because I did this? And you know, it's difficult, right? That suffering is difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you ever ask why? Have you ever? Because I meet a number of people. I do not as much now as I used to, but I speak a lot of times with men who are going through situations, and one of the biggest situations with young men, and you know, middle aged men like myself. I guess I'm middle aged or close to middle aged, is we live in sin. This world is filled with sin, and we indulge in sin. And one of the sins that we as men indulge in is procreation, right? We have kids by these ladies, and we either are married and we get a divorce, or we're not married. We have children out of wedlock, or our relationship at home just isn't going good. But one of the sins we commit, and I want to use the one of sex, We commit this sin. We make this child, and then check this. At some point, that relationship is severed, right? So the sin was, first off, we're taught you should not be indulging in the activity unless you're married, right? Right?
Right.
And so if we look at that as the sin, now let's look at the consequences of our sin. The consequences of our sin go to, now that I'm no longer with this woman, we have this baby, I've got to free up my schedule because I got visitation. And the big thing that a lot of men complain about is this thing called child support. they feel like, excuse me, a lot of times they feel like, well, I'm no longer with her. I should have full access to my child whenever I deem it necessary. Now, I'm not saying every man is like this. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that's a big thing with a lot of the men that I talk to. So I'm talking personal experience here with men who don't understand what it is to be a father. So I just want to put that out there. Nobody shoot at me tomorrow. You can feel free to DM me or something like that. I'm okay. I'll answer. I love conversation. But a number of these young men, they don't see it, or they don't see, well, what we call baby mama drama. You can't have no other woman around my kid, or well, you need to have your kids more often than you're trying to work so you can provide for them. And all these things, these are direct consequences, I believe, of our sin. Am I kind of off base with thinking like that, Jason? Because I just believe that. I just believe when we go through things like that, there are direct consequences of something we've done. I'm not always saying that God is punishing us, but I want us to understand that a lot of times we suffer not because God has it out to punish us. A lot of times we suffer because the enemy is always here. He's always around here. You remember Job? He was a man free of sin, right? But the enemy
right.
was searching the earth for one he might devour. Am I right?
Right.
And God invited him, right? Go ahead, Jason. Go ahead.
No. I just want to catch up on that point. When you talk about what you're saying, I wholeheartedly believe, but it's not a welcome result, right? When we talk about divorce and we talk about some of the issues that arises when you're now trying to parent a child out of the marital relationship that God wanted children to be parented in, you know, we won't call it what it really is, right? God put man and woman together, and in very few cases is divorce does he you know tolerate, you know, he really wants us to be together and work through things. And when we make that decision not to, for whatever reason we do, then there is a consequence, right? And you know, the reality of it is, to call it a consequence of sin is a real assessment of it, but it's not going to be one that's very well liked or very well received, because unfortunately, we live in a culture that says, if I don't like my husband or wife, let me just go find another one. But you are correct, right? When we try to build and grow this family outside of that, the order of God, just like any other sin, there's going to be a consequence and an outcome to it, right? You can go out, you know, shoot a bunch of people, kill a bunch of people, ask God for forgiveness, and that forgiveness is given to you. That grace and that forgiveness is given to you. It does not mean you're not going to spend the next 30, 40, 50, maybe the rest of your life in jail because of it, right? And so you know, we don't want to think about, you know, we can accept that, okay, yeah, sin that great, yeah, I may be forgiven, but I know there's going to be some earthly punishment. We don't want to look at the same thing when we talk about marriage and a family. And I know so many guys who when we talk about suffering, they feel like they're suffering because of it. And unfortunately, to your point, they don't understand, man, this is a choice that you made. Right? This is a choice that you made. Oh, man, it's not my fault. I couldn't just deal with that. I couldn't put up with it no more. Well, that's not the case. Like, how, if God took that same approach with us, where do you think we will be, right? You know, and so it's interesting that you contrasted, you know, the punishment of sin with the choice of divorce, because that's a real talk and that's a real statement, and I think you're right on with it. Is that outcome when you decide to try to raise that family outside of order of God, it's going to be disruptive.
Absolutely. And you know what I'm finding in this world. Like again, one of the points I want to make is that suffering in itself is not necessarily a bad thing. Because as we talk about the plight of the young man who doesn't do what he's supposed to, let's look at the other side. Let's look at the woman. Let's look at the young woman. Or older woman, let's just look at the woman. She's with this guy. They're not married. She knows that what they're doing is wrong. They have a child. The relationship doesn't work out. Maybe the guy's unfaithful. Maybe the guy's abusive. Who knows what it is? But again, since we're going against God, and we don't get to pick and choose our punishment, and I'm not saying every time something bad happens in our lives, is it a punishment? But we have to live with the consequences of our decisions. And today, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anybody. It's sin when you do these things. So let's just label it what it is. It's sin, right? So we all sin. We can't all just preach and talk about the word of God and act like we don't sin. Let's call a duck a duck. So in this, the woman finds herself trying to raise a child all by herself. She feels all alone because most of the time, daddy going to get the baby on the weekends and the weekends only. And he only going to probably take 2 weekends a month, right? A good guy, a good father, he may think he's doing the right thing. He may be working 2 jobs to provide for this child because he got to pay child support. And child support in America, and you know, it ain't so liberal, right? Right? So let's say he's doing the right thing. Well, that leaves that mother stuck. Because now she's responsible for all the day-to-day activities of the child. Now, again, I'm just using this for an example, and I'm using a guy who really wants to do the right thing for his child. But the consequences of her sin, you know, she's got to get up 2 hours earlier every morning, right? She's got to run back and forth. But in this sin, this is where I'm leading to in this, in the sin, in the suffering, this age of suffering, the time of your life when you feel like God is punishing me, I'm living out my punishment. Okay. There is this thing called joy, right? And there's this thing called joy. And how is it? And Jason, have you ever been in a situation where it's been horrible, but you always tried to find joy in that situation? And by joy, I mean understanding, right? Not anger, not dismay, not hate, but you found an understanding. So I like to say joy. Has there ever been a time when you've been in a situation like that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Like I'll tell you, after my second divorce and you know, being you know, let go from a job, I was probably, and I tell people this all the time, I was probably in one of the lowest points, the one of the most unstable points ever that I've been in my life. And I think before we talk about the joy, I like to tell people how I define joy. You know, for me, joy is a state of being. It's not dependent on your circumstance, your situation. It's not dependent on who's around. It's all dependent on your relationship with God. And when you have that, you're able to just operate in this euphoria that comes from that relationship.
You said euphoria? Explain that for me.
Well, when I say euphoria, you know, when I talk about euphoria, it's that sense of just overwhelming just happiness and just I don't even want to say happiness. I just want to say just you just feel safe and secure and like everything is working the way it's supposed to.
You know, that's funny because that's kind of where we're going. I use the word joy because that's the word we use in the Bible a lot. But how do you get there? How is it? the world, my world around me is crumbling. I committed a murder. I committed a burglary. I'm a deadbeat dad, or I'm an unfit mother, and I'm going through circumstances. I'm going through my trials. How do you find that level of euphoria that you're talking about right now? How do you get there?
I'll tell you, for me, it was just it's a perspective, right? Not allowing myself to focus on the circumstance and the situation that I'm in, but focus on the relationship, right? And most importantly, that relationship with God, and be able to say, like, you know, when we talk about suffering, it's not, you can look at suffering as something that's bad against you, or you can look at suffering as an opportunity to grow. And that's growing your faith, growing your character, growing your relationship with God. And when I started to change my perspective to look at that opportunity, you get excited, right? Because I get excited about being closer to God, getting to know him better. And to go through this circumstance and situation that allows that actually, you know, gave me a positive outlook. Because now, you know, no matter what the outcome is, no matter what the circumstance is, I know this is for something bigger and greater than what I'm actually experiencing.
Because I remember in reading, I forget who it was, but I remember reading a book, or maybe it was an article, and it said, our very pain is a sign of God's remembrance of us, for it will, hold on, remembering of us, for it would be so much worse if we were left in ghastly isolation. I don't remember where I read that. Us being in pain and being in a bad situation is a sign of God's remembrance of us. What you're saying, Jason, makes a lot of sense to me. And my thing is, I think that a lot of times when we go through pain, so we live in one of these worlds where everything is microwave. Wouldn't you agree? Everything is microwave. I want it now. What's that commercial, that J.G. Wentworth commercial? It's my money and I want it now. Right? And they don't put it in big bold letters in the commercial, but when you go to them, they generally want anywhere from 30% to 40% of the money that you have. Now, that don't sound like a lot. If you got $100,000, they want $40,000 because you don't want to wait. So you're going to give up basically a brand new car because you don't want to wait till your money arrives. You see what I'm saying? And I think God doesn't work like that. And I think God really wants to elevate us above that through our suffering. Here's why I say it. When you go back and you read in the Bible, two of my favorite books to read when it comes to suffering is, one, I like to read about Job, right? And of course I like to read about David, self-inflicted wounds. All of us men could definitely learn a lot from reading both of those. But God allows us to be our lowest so that he can lift us to our highest. What do I mean by that? You know, I know that God knows my name. You know, everybody knows the song. You know, God knows my name. He knows my name. I remember that. That was a big, big popular song, about 10 years ago. And so if God knows your name, if God knows you personally, he knows everything about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Don't you think that when you're in a bad situation, that he knows that you're in that situation? And I like to think that if I can just find a way to praise him, I like to think of praise as like an igniter. Yeah, anybody ever use a gas stove? The new ones, the old ones used to have a pilot light. And every time you turned it on, it had that little flint, it would click, and then the flame would come up. Well, on the new ones, they don't have a pilot light. But they have this little igniter. You turn the knob, has a little flame on the knob. You turn the knob, the igniter, you hear it go click, 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 and then this flame pops up, poof, and then you can turn it to high, low, or whatever. I think that prayer is that igniter for our relationship with Christ, because I have seen people who never acknowledged God existed, or maybe they didn't even believe. Maybe they just didn't believe in God. They believed that there was a higher power in the universe, and that was it. And they get in a bad situation right before the car crashes where they say, oh, my God. All of a sudden, God comes out of their mouth, and they would never do it in their sane mind at the moment. But in that moment, the God, there's a connection we have with God. But anyway, they find God. God knows us. He wants to help us. Now, our healing doesn't always mean less suffrage. Our healing doesn't always mean recovery. But our healing always, always means what? Our relationship with Christ. And that's the thing. I want people to understand. I want you to understand too, Jason. You just had a car accident not too long ago, right?
Yes, sir.
So you just had a car accident. And physically, you didn't really get hurt at all, right? You didn't get hurt at all. You didn't get dinged up, no scars, no cuts, none of that, right?
No, it.
So, now, but your suffrage comes in, the car is in the shop. You ain't got no car. They told you the car, right?
Right.
And now, go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, don't have a vehicle. Got to figure out how I'm going to get a vehicle. You know, disrupting the life, disrupting the wife. It's a difficult time.
And you found out that they totaled your car. Now, did that make you feel worse or better once they totaled your car, once you found out it was totaled?
So for a split second, I felt bad. Now I'm like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do, right? You know, because this is my primary means of transportation, you know, and I try to get out and about. Although I'm out and about a lot. So for some moments there, I won't say a brief second, for a couple of moments, I was like, dang it. You know, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm angry with the man for what he did, you know, the situation that I'm in. So, for a couple of moments, I started to feel that way.
You know, it's funny. Now I want you to do this for me. So now you're frustrated. You feel like you're basically being punished for something you ain't had nothing to do with. God just hit you out of nowhere. Now, let's look at the blessings that come out of that. Let's look at the good side that come out of that. Because you didn't have your car, but what other car did you have?
The fact that I've got a beautiful wife and she has a vehicle. I would tell you, as we talk about, like, the blessings, after I got out of that moment, I started thinking about it.
Yeah.
I started thinking about, man, hold on, I don't have to have a car payment anymore, right? And me and a wife we're talking about and starting to save for a house. So I just got a savings account right there because now I don't have a car payment. I was blessed because when the amount they were pricing the car, the more it paid off the amount I owed on the car, and gave me a little extra money to go get a car. So, you know, so it's kind of like I'm gonna get a new car, not a new car. I'm gonna get a vehicle without having to spend a dime more, and so they help me get to my my saving goals to that bigger house. Then I get to spend time riding to work with my wife, and we get to spend time like that. So it turned out, you know, what happened in that moment, and then when I found out it was getting totaled. Like I said, for a few moments there, I was like, man. But then quickly, you know, God just kind of can be a blessing in disguise. You know, so I'm actually kind of joyous about this.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Ain't it funny how we are so quick to latch on to the negative thing and not that positive thing? It's dangerous. We are dangerous creatures. When we start leaning on our own understanding and not leaning on the Word of God and not Because if you don't read the Word of God on a regular basis, I'm just going to be honest with you. As an ordained minister, I'm telling y'all now, when I don't focus on the Word, when I don't take the time to read the Word every day, it seems like I lose something. Like, I lose something. I really do. And what I mean by lose something is my alarm clock. It's like it's shut off. Like, if I'm reading the scriptures every day, doesn't matter which ones I'm reading, I could just be going through Psalms. And maybe the scripture that I read has nothing to do with my day. But it brings to remembrance that God is alive and well and that he's going to protect me. And I don't have to be angry in certain situations. I'm reminded of that. So, and I say all that to say that when we're going through our periods of suffering, you know, a lot of times we don't look for that. We don't look for Christ in the suffering. Again, as I use my situation, my battle with cancer, the treatment, not even the cancer, because the treatment is worse than the disease. I'm just going to tell you that now. But as I was going through, I will tell you, there came a point where I couldn't keep any food down, and it was a whole weekend, and I dropped, between week 2 and week 4, I dropped a whole 30 pounds. 30 pounds, that's a lot of weight, right? That is a lot of weight to lose in 3 weeks, but I lost 30 pounds in 3 weeks. By the end of my treatments, I had lost 51 pounds, and I'm telling y'all, it was the most disgusting feeling. I looked horrible. Like, you could look at me until I was extremely sick, and I struggled to find Christ in all of this. I struggled to find a reward. I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. I struggled to find a reason for the season I was in. I tell you, have y'all ever, I'm going to get to the answer in a minute, but have you ever gone to someone who knows God? And I know a lot of people say this is a crazy saying, but have you ever met someone who's so heavenly bound that they ain't a whole lot of earthly good? Because it seemed like they walking on air. Have you ever met somebody like that to come through your world? Have you ever? Go ahead, David.
Yeah. You know, you talk about that where as you go through your circumstance and situation, you know, people want to be, you know, positive and try to help you out. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I need us to be real, right?
Yeah.
To be real with ourselves. And I think the reality is God wants us to be real with ourselves. You know, he wants us to tell us, like, man, this sucks. I don't know about this. Why am I doing this? You know, I'm struggling with you, God. I don't understand why you got me going through this. I don't understand why I have to do this. And you know, that realness and that genuine heart that you pour out to God is all he wants. Right? So, yeah, you know, but you get some people, they want to say, oh, just keep praying on it, baby. Like, man, I don't want to pray. I want to be mad. I want to be angry.
Yeah. I brought that up because talking to a friend of mine, and don't worry, I'm going to come back and finish what I was saying a while ago, but I was talking to a friend of mine, very close friend, or someone who used to be very, very close. And I was venting some frustrations, right? And rather than listen to my frustrations, this person allowed me to say what I was saying, but didn't hear a word I was saying. They proceeded to tell me how to fix my problem. Well, Cedric, if the advice was good advice, why couldn't you follow it? Because timing is everything. And I wasn't looking for an answer to the problem. I guess at that point, I just needed to get it off my chest, right? And we're talking about going through some suffering here. So this situation had me feeling some kind of way. And the funny thing was, the situation ain't about me. It ain't about nothing that I had done. It was about a friend of mine that I wanted to help. I just didn't know how. So I was asking advice of the other person. Rather than the other person, in my opinion, rather than that person, we'll call us, we'll say Spiritual Sue, That's a nickname I made up. Rather than the person addressing the situation as I presented it, they started trying to fix me, like started diagnosing me with a problem. Now, why is that a problem for me? Why am I even bringing that up? Listen, I was already going through because this friend of mine is a dear friend of mine, and I was really trying to help this friend out. And I just needed some advice. I just needed some clarification, make sure I wasn't overreacting, that kind of thing. And then I felt attacked. I felt attacked by this other person. And I'm saying, why are we even talking about me here? Because it's not about me. And again, we're talking about suffrage here. I found later on that this person was going through their own, I'll just say her, she was going through her own bit of suffering, but she's been going through the whole life. Here it is. This is where I want to get to. A lot of times we suffer because we don't follow the word of God, because we don't listen to God, because we don't understand what God is talking to us. A lot of times we prolong our suffering because we are disobedient. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but they say obedience is better than sacrifice. Listen, why is obedience? Listen, do you understand that saying? Why is obedience better than sacrifice?
Because obedience shows alignment, right? Right. I always say, you know, right, when you're obedient, you're basically saying that what you're telling me is true and I'm doing it, as opposed to sacrifice, you feel like you're giving up something, right? So yeah, I sacrificed this money to pay the church, right? That's, you know, although I'm going through the actions, although I'm doing this, you know, my heart's not aligned with what God tells me to do, because I see it as a sacrifice when he sees it as an act of obedience, you know, as a point of love. So yeah, when you say obedience is better than sacrifice, sacrifice promotes yourself, because what you're saying is the thing that I'm giving up, something that I want, I need, I desire. I'm giving up a piece of me, right, for whatever this thing is.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, like, I'm trying to get close to you, God, and I'm going to follow whatever direction you got if you give me.
All right. See, that's what I'm talking about, because, I don't have a textbook definition or a textbook comparison, but much like you, I say obedience is better than sacrifice, because, look, to be obedient is to follow along with what God says from the beginning. You don't have to be persuaded. You don't have to be rewarded. You're going to follow Christ no matter what, right? Sacrifice is, God, I'm a second guess you, and I'm going to do what you say, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to be real cautious about going this way, because I don't really fully trust in you. And so now you're making, quote, unquote, a sacrifice, because you feel like there's something for you to lose. Obedience says there's nothing to lose. There's only gain. Even if it looks like I'm losing to you, there is only gain coming my way. Why? Because that's what God told me. He told me if you do this, 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 and this, you can have this. And that's what, for me, that's what obedience is about. It's about being obedient to his word. In other words, doing what the scriptures tell us to do without any sort of persuasion or being coerced in any kind of way. Whereas sacrifice, there has to be a reason. And so the point I'm getting at is this right here with my friend. And I'm going to leave that behind here in a minute. But the point I'm getting at is, as we as Christians, we have to be very careful that we follow God's lead and not our own. If God didn't send you to talk to this person and talk about this thing, please don't do it, because you're going to do more harm than good. And you're going to, listen, for every action, there's an equal or greater reaction, right? Right? And so we can actually cause these, our friends, our loved ones, to suffer even more, because God didn't send us. He didn't send us to do it, or he didn't tell us to do it. Sometimes, but the only way we know these things is, one, we got to stay prayed up. Two, we got to stay in the Word. We've got to stay in the Word. And three, we got to listen and use discernment. Because we can break stuff. This world we live in, it's like our ecosystem here on Earth. It is fragile. And I don't know about you, Jason, but the more people I meet in this world today, the more fragile they seem. I mean, I grew up in the 1980s, right? The 1970s, 1980s. Man, I feel old. But I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and you better have thick skin coming in our house. Because if you're looking crazy, my mama's going to say, boy, what's wrong with you? Well, pull your clothes up. Fix your shirt. Your mama didn't make you iron your clothes. And this is a true story. Your mama didn't make you iron your clothes before you came out. Said, go get the ironing board and iron. Young man, she used to tell my buddy Chris, now I want you to go back there and iron your clothes. I'm not kidding. This ain't even a child. But we have to be careful. We have to stay prayed up. God will send us where we need to be. And as far as it's suffering and understanding your suffering, you know what? Sometimes it ain't meant for us to understand. You know, we just have to count it all joy. Count it all joy because, like I can tell you, my doctors say my cancer was related to the HPV virus. Okay, fine. There's no other real reason for me to have cancer and to go through all those treatments. That was, in my head, there's no reason for me to be sick for 2-3 months. My throat is just now healing. I'm just now getting my taste buds back 4 or 5 months later. That in my head, there's no reason for me to go through this. But, oh, when I sit back and I think about the Word of God, when I think about my relationship with Christ, when I think about all this stuff, I look at that cancer and I say, oh, there is a reason for the cancer. Listen, people, there was a reason for the cancer because look at it. It pushed me closer to God. As a matter of fact, it picked me up and moved me towards God. Because, listen, before I got cancer, I wasn't praying every day. Before I got cancer, I wasn't worshiping Christ throughout the day. Before I got cancer, I wasn't reading the Word like I used to. Y'all don't get it. I wasn't doing the things of God that I had normally been doing. I had gotten away from what I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't the same man anymore. And I think that God was saying to me, I miss you, Cedric. I miss you. Come on home. Come on home. My suffering drove me so much closer to Christ. And not just that. There's a level of patience that I've had to develop. There's a prayer life that I've had to grasp, right? The things that I used to do that made me feel closer to Christ, I have to reincorporate those things in my life. And Jason, I'm going to tell you this. That was the reason why, and this was something, a revelation that hit me after, that was the reason why I didn't want to do those things anymore. Can you believe that? I was just going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent. I've been a deacon since 1996. I've been an ordained minister since 2012. I've been working with people and working in the church and giving back to the community for my entire life. Man, honestly, Jason, I just was tired. I was tired of God's people, to the church. I was tired of God's people. I was tired of the drama. I was tired of the circumstances. I'm going to be honest. I was tired of the sicknesses and the illnesses. I was tired of people dying. I was tired of preaching funerals. My friends here in Kentucky, they laugh at me because there was a moment in my life, a few years, where it seemed like every Sunday I was preaching a funeral or at least one day during the week I was preaching a funeral. And listen, I was preaching funerals, doing the eulogies for people I didn't even know. They would just call me on the phone and say, hey, my cousin said that you preached at my other cousin who got killed's funeral. And she said you did a good job. And we want you to come and do this funeral. And you know what? I was tired. Listen, again, I want to say to you, it's important for us as children of God to recognize when God wants us to do something. It's important for us to recognize when God sees us as important. And for us as children of God, he sees all of us as important equally. You might not be a pastor. You might not be a preacher. You might not be a deacon. You might not even be a church officer. You might not be in the choir. You might not be in the children's ministry. You might not be in the Sunday school. You might not do any of those things. You might not even go to church. You may not even acknowledge Christ on a daily, monthly, weekly, yearly basis. But listen. The beauty in it is he's always there. He's never more than a heartbeat away. Sometimes you don't have to speak the words. You're in a bad situation, just like I told you about the people who claim that they don't believe in God. They get in a car accident. The first thing that you hear them yell out is, "Oh, my God." All you have to do is invite God into your heart. You invite him into your life. And then your suffrage may not go away. It may not go away. It may not go away. But at least you know that somebody's with you to carry you through this situation. At least you can understand that you're not being punished. No. There's always a reason. And we have to find that joy. We have to find the meaning if we make it through. We have to find the meaning. Actually, while we're in the midst of the storm, while we're in the midst, we have to begin searching, that soul searching. And we just have to. I believe that we should pray for understanding. God, you may not cure me. And I said this myself. I'm just going to be honest. God, you may not remove the cancer from me, but I thank you for it. I thank you for allowing my children to see me to go through this moment of suffrage. Why? Well, Cedric, why is it important? Well, I never wanted them to see me that weak. See, God knows me. He knows that I never want anybody to see me that weak. I have an apartment upstairs, and I lived in my apartment upstairs. Rarely did I go downstairs. Rarely did my kids see me. My daughter was up here with me for 2 months. Rarely did she see me during the day except when I was going back and forth to the doctor. I didn't want her to see me suffer, but there came a time when I couldn't hide it, right? There came a time I couldn't hide it. But why didn't I want her or my son to see me like that? Because I was an insecure individual, and God showed me that. Because as a man, as a father, I'm supposed to be the strong one in the family. I'm supposed to be the patriarch of the family. I'm supposed to be the source of inspiration. I'm supposed to be the model figure for intestinal fortitude. When people say you can't, you can. I'm supposed to be the go on and on and on. I had all these delusions of grandeur my whole life. And all it took with little old cancer to bring all those walls crashing down, because my kids got to see me at my weakest. They got to see me at my worst. I felt bad. I looked bad. I'm sorry, Jason. I've been talking for a while. You want to jump in?
No, I think what you shared is really important for people to know, that we have these ideas of, like you said, grandeur, of the perception of what it means to be this, what it means to be that. But then when we have that encounter with God and he tells us the reality, we get to come to a peace of knowing that, hey man, it's not about who I am, but it's about who I serve. And when I can stand in the Lord, even in my weakness, even in what the world will call weakness and frailty, I have strength. And to allow your kids to see that strength in that physical weakness, in that physical frailty, does more than any Superman moment we may have, right? So it's great that you were able to experience that. It's great. I think people need to just realize that when we go through that suffering, our natural inclination would be to hide, to not share. But in reality, you know, God wants us to share that, because He wants us to show how God is glorified through the suffering. So I think it's awesome that you kind of got to that point.
Well, I like to say I kind of got there, but I didn't. It was God. It was all God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was just physically there, but God did all the work. And he just showed me. It was like watching the TV screen. And now that I think about it, as I revisit those memories, you know, I'm not depressed. I'm not upset. I'm thankful. You see, I learned something by suffering that way. Because, again, y'all know, y'all heard my story. That wasn't my only bout these last 3 years. You know, the first one was breaking my neck and being paralyzed and having permanent nerve damage, and God healing me to such an extent to where I'm no longer paralyzed. The nerve damage is still there, and it hurts. My thumbs feel like they're about to explode right now, but I tell you, our suffering, when God allows us to suffer, it's not to hurt. It's not to hurt you. It's not to bring you to your knees. It's not even to bring you into compliance. He allows us to suffer because it allows him, I believe, at my situation, it allows him to be a bigger part of my life, because I know without him I can't do it. I know without him there is no me. It hurts. And the word I'm going to use is it sucks. I got a broke ankle, and I tried to run the other day, and my ankle got the throbbing. It got the paining. My arch, the inside of my arch, on my foot, I got these two big long screws in there, and I really ain't supposed to. I'm not supposed to walk without having some kind of arch support on my foot, because it just feels like my arch is falling every day. I don't know anybody who ever had fallen arches, but trust me, they hurt worse than shin splints. I tell you that. but it's not to kill me. It's not to harm me. It's not to hurt me. I use them as a catalyst to keep me close to him. So I'm constantly calling on God. I bet you if I had a wife laying in the bed next to me, she'd be like, "Baby, can you call on some? Can you use one of his other names? Can you use one of the other names for God? Because I'm tired of hearing you say Jesus and God. I'm tired. Because that's what I have to call out to. And that's what I got. And I don't care what nobody say. That's what I'm leaning on. I trust in God more than I do any friend. Jason, I love you. You know I do. You know I got your back. We can go to war. But if God say no, I'm going to have to tell you no. And we need to develop these kind of relationships. And I'm going to be honest. Personally, I know very few people who could develop a relationship like that with Christ without going through some sort of period of suffrage, because we don't have the discipline. We don't have what it takes. So I want you, everybody, I know we're about to close out the show here in about 3 minutes. I want everybody to understand, when God has you going through these tender moments, I'll call them tender, these periods, I'm telling you, embrace him. Embrace him. Embrace his will. Because I'm telling you, it's going, if the only thing it does is relax your mind, it takes some stress off of you. It takes the stress off of you. So with that being said, hey, J-Dub, you got anything you want to say? You want to give us some tidbits or nugget tidbits?
No, just like I said, suffering is just an opportunity. It's an opportunity to grow, to grow in character, grow in faith, but more importantly, grow in a relationship and a closeness with God.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because I'm telling you, I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about the state of this world. I said, you know, the world is in the state it's in mostly because we as Christians are in a bad state ourselves. We're not doing what God called us to do. All right. Jesus took 12 and changed the whole world, changed the course of the world. We got a church on just about every corner. And can't change the church, let alone the neighborhood. Don't get me started. I we were talking about it, and I said, we just embrace God. You know, this friend and I, we were talking about the different denominations. And, wow, what does it mean to really be a Christian? Because we got so many different denominations. And I said, yeah. And we started talking about, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, denominations usually mean a small difference in doctrine, right? And so it's pretty tough. So my thing is, As we continue to suffer through, because right now our nation, our planet, our world is suffering, whether we want to believe it or not. I mean, we suffering on all kinds of levels. I just want to encourage everybody. Let's go ahead and let's start praying every morning. Start praying every morning for one another and for everything. But let's start really. Really, and let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. So with that being said, I feel like I done preached a sermon. I don't know why I feel like that, but I just want to bid you a wonderful weekend. Remember, keep on praying. And just like I always say at this time, you already know what it is. Find something you love, embrace it, chase it, and that is your relentless pursuit. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, stay prayed up. Find you a good church, a church that teaches the Bible. And if you can't, pick up your Bible, serve you, pray. God will show you the way. All right, J-Dub, man. You have a good weekend. I'll talk to you later. Sister Kim, you want to hit us with our theme music?
I stay right with the rock, homie. Won't catch me slipping.
Underdog like a Rocky, but still a champion. I or the tiger, I'm getting strong, and yet it's evident. When my God with me, now who can stop me better yet? I ain't met a person yet. When the rock with me, come and flex. I just thought that you know. Come and kick it like you know. Gotta keep it with me, cause they can have it like a sumo. I'm taking off like a Rocky, shooting farther than Pluto. My father the reason I do this, and Jesus the reason I do most. So all hell to King. And the new genres be summing. That face mixed with that hip-hop, and I'm a tip-top position. No flip-flop and no pit-stop, cause I'm with the rock and he with me. No tip-top and no switches. There's a top back, there's a something. Cause he rides with it, you get it. Get it. When he with me, who stop it? Underdog like a rock, taking off like a rock.
Taking off like a rock,
Winnie with me, who stop? Underdog like a rock, take it.